Welcome to Political Coffee, your one-hour thought-provoking news and commentary as you begin your day. And now, here's your host, Jeff Krupp.
Hey, everybody. Good morning. It's great to be with you. It is 6 minutes past 6 o'clock. Politics with your coffee. Wow. So, homelessness. The Salem city ban goes into effect, I think, yesterday. So, what's the answer here? Is the answer to literally just move people off of the streets? Where are you going to put them? How do you deal with the root causes? So much of homelessness is related to drug addiction. How do you deal with that? We're going to talk a little bit about that. Also going to talk about an interesting, you know, you hear me lament the negative impacts of social media. Well, there's an interesting story about how a tweet gave a leftist journalist who's a vicious hater of Donald Trump. This tweet sent him into an epileptic seizure. And he sued the person that sent the tweet, and it's going to trial. Will things like this just sort of by osmosis rein in the ugliness that is, well, really in many ways is destroying our culture? What do you think? Also, there's an interesting thing that's happened. You know, when I got up this morning, I was watching some of the Chiron on Fox News. That tells you what's going on, you know, just whatever they're putting up there. News of the day, if you will. And there's a story about this big budget bill that is going to be, apparently everybody's agreed to it, and they're going to sign it into law as soon as they pass it in the House and the Senate here in the next couple of days. Now, the House has got a little bit other of important business, like impeaching Trump tomorrow. The Rules Committee sets forth rules today, and of course there'll be rules that will benefit the Democrats. And little Chucky Schumer is out there trying to set the stage for claiming that the Senate trial was just a show trial. It wasn't serious, and they limited us and wouldn't let us bring our... And he's a smart guy. You know, look, Sometimes the politicians aren't very smart folks. You need to understand that a lot of their staff are. And they're very bright people, and they know how to maneuver these things. Bottom line is that this spending bill is going to be passed. There's some very interesting stuff in it. And apparently, there is the repeal of three Obamacare tax increases. And shockingly, there's apparently also money for Trump's border wall. No kidding. Now, folks, this is sausage making if there ever was sausage making. And the bottom line, and in fact, I'm reading a New York Times article about this. It's $1.4 trillion. And that's just for the remainder of this year, the fiscal year. Okay, now, that's not this year. It's the fiscal year, which I think runs us to June 30th, okay? Wait a second. No, I think it's a different date than June 30th. That's the state. But at any rate, what everybody is losing sight of here, friends, is something that is deeply and dramatically important to the future of this country, this great republic. You know what it is? We're spending like drunken sailors, folks. And nobody is trying to stop it. I remember, don't you, the shock at Barack Obama and the Democrats proposing trillion-dollar deficits. Now we have trillion-dollar deficits and nobody says, I mean, we have record revenues coming into, you know, the federal government, frankly, into the state government. The economy is just booming. What do you think is going to happen when the economy goes south? And it will someday, folks. At what point do we reach a crisis point where we can no longer deficit spend? Now, what would cause that to happen? Well, I mean, you don't have to be a genius to figure it out. But what causes it to happen is simply this. When the interest that we have to pay on the national debt, along with the unfunded liabilities, gets us to the point where the Federal Reserve can no longer buy the debt, for the Federal Reserve can no longer create just money out of thin air and issue treasury bills, which get bought by people in the, you know, all across the world, China, Japan, other countries, some American companies. I mean, at the point where the Federal Reserve can no longer justify in any aspect that we are going to continue to issue debt for deficit spending, what do we do then? You know, Mark Levin said something yesterday that I just thought was profound. And I do want to talk a little bit about impeachment, because he talked about a particular thing that his neighbor said to him that he hadn't thought of about impeachment. Maybe some of you heard that, and it is profound. But he said something else. Levin was talking about how we are simply not paying attention to the size of government. And that as government budgets grow, it gives more and more power, because government budgets growing means that you have more people. And when you have more people that are government employees, you have bigger agencies, more reach into the average American's life. And you don't unwind that, folks. It is extraordinarily rare. Now, there are examples of where it has been unwound in America at the local level, but never at the federal level. Look at Obamacare. Even though we're killing it little by little, and this deal, and Ann and Zeke, hang on, I'm going to get to you in just a minute here. 503-589-1220, by the way, is the Power Buick GMC talk line. 503-589-1220. Emails to Jeff at 1220.am. And I do have some great emails. One of them is a particularly great joke. At any rate, we're giving incredible power every time we increase the budgets of agencies and they hire more people, because you don't unwind that. Ronald Reagan said it best. He said the closest thing, it was one of his jokes, I'll never forget it, the closest thing to eternal life on earth is a government program, because they really never go away. Think about it. I saw this when I served in the legislature, folks. When we tried to get rid of particular programs because they frankly were not achieving any real result, the only way we knew that is we put in place performance expectations and measures, which have been largely been done away with since the Democrats took control after I left in 07. But we tried to do away with little programs, little amounts of money, and people would come out of the woodwork to protect it. Say, no, you can't do this. I mean, I'll tell you, it's the most amazing thing in the world. What Levin is saying is absolutely correct, folks. The more we expand the budgets and hire more government programs, the more this thing becomes completely, completely unmanageable. Nobody can manage it. Now, where does that leave us in the long run? At some point in time when spending, well, when we just can't print money anymore, I mean, it leads to either hyperinflation like the Weimar Republic or Zimbabwe, or they devalue everything and everything collapses. None of these are good prospects, none of them. And if there's one thing I can criticize Trump over, spending too much money. As much as I love the guy and support what he's doing, there's no excuse for this, Republican or Democrat. Let's go to the phones. We'll start first with Ann. Ann, good morning, and what do you have to say today?
Hey, Jeff, this is Zeke.
Oh, it's Zeke. There you go.
Yeah. I have a few words to say about cap and trade.
Sure.
Sure, Jeff. All of us are environmental manipulators. With every step we take, whether it be on wood, concrete, or asphalt, humans manipulate the environment for our very survival. And whether or not we're sitting in a college classroom or sitting under a bridge, we're still manipulating the environment. All the food we eat, the energy we use, the transportation, everything. The result is that the history of mankind dictates it. It demands it. And you know, Jeff, one day I went hiking, and I spent the night on a snow-crested mountain peak. I stupidly had nothing to wear but a swimsuit and T-shirt and shoes. I had only a few drops of water to gulp, my potato chips long ago consumed. Darn near frozen death, Jeff. By morning, I was starving. It took me long hours to get back to my car in a warm blanket. God, was I ever glad to be back. So, Kate Brown, stop hammering on people who work hard to provide for their families and your comfort, too. You don't have to be a power-hungry, money-grubber, human manipulator. Maybe instead look to your neighbors and God. You may just like it. And I'm showing up on February 6th. Ask our senators to put an end to cap and trade.
So let me ask you a question. Do you think I ought to try to do a special broadcast from the Capitol steps that day?
Absolutely, Jeff. Your impact is strong and wide.
Well, thank you, Zeke, and thanks for the story. Quick question about that. I mean, you made an interesting point, is that just living creates some impact on the environment. So what's the ultimate? Are there too many people living on the earth? Is it possible to accommodate more people living on the earth? Do we need to limit, like China, how many children you can have? It's all wrapped up into this environmentalist, socialist mentality, climate change, and frankly, homelessness. I mean, what do we do? Do we not take care of the elderly and the sick? Do we let them expire all just because it's the right thing to do for the environment?
There are a lot of humans on this planet. But we've got to be gentle to each other, and we've got to support and help each other. We've got to walk through life in a nice, gentle way. We got to think and reason out things before acting. And I don't think this cap and trade thing is thinking out or reasoning out anything.
Well, I got to tell you, Zeke, and I want to thank you for calling in today and sharing that story. I hope you never made that mistake again about going hiking and not being prepared.
Believe me, I will not.
Yeah, you know, it's interesting. The fruits of the Spirit in the Bible, love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness.
There's great wisdom there.
There is, indeed. It's 6:19 in the morning. What do we do with the homelessness? Is it possible that tweets can send people into epileptic seizures? Because apparently it has in a court case. Will that help us be nicer to each other? If people recognize there's legal consequences for their ugliness?
Call Jeff now at 503-589-1220. That's 503-589-1220. Let's return now to more of Political Coffee with Jeff Krupp.
Stop the car. 22 minutes past the top of the hour. I got an email from, by the way, you want to send me an email, it's easy. It's jeff@1220.am from Wilbur, who's a longtime liberal listener of mine from the years that I've been in broadcasting. Merry Christmas, he writes. Says, I find it interesting how the music leading into the commercial breaks on Political Coffee often covers up people while they're still talking. Wonder if anyone's aware of this. So I wrote him back and I said, yes, it's a function of us broadcasting on Skype, folks, which is how I do this show, because I don't do this show from inside the KSLM studios in Salem. I do them from actually, frankly, from my place on the farm. So I do it over Skype, and that is a function of just how it works. Sorry about that. Wish it could be different, but it is what it is. Remember I told you I had a really funny Christmas email? Well, I do. I got to share this with you because it's just too good. In fact, I've got a couple of them, but I'll start with this one from Dwight. It says, friends, be careful. Yesterday, I went to a Christmas party. I had a few beers, followed by a few cocktails, followed by a few shots. But after all that, I had the sense to know that I was over the limit. That's when I decided to do what I had never done before. I took a cab home. Sure enough, there was a police roadblock on the way home, and since it was a cab, they waved it past. I arrived home safely without incident. This was both a great relief and a surprise because I had never driven a cab before. I don't even know where I got it from. And now that it's in my garage, I don't know what to do with it. Have a safe, wonderful Christmas. Oh, and then one of our great state employees that listens to the show and writes me regularly emails sends me... You know what the Onion is, folks? You know, there's another kind of a conservative, satirical website, publication called The Babylon Bee. And it's about Santa Claus must be impeached. It's hilarious, actually. It's really quite funny. All right, so... He also writes me talking about the cap and tax deception, which there's a story about that today on OregonWatchdog.com from the Portland Tribune. It's a rehash of yesterday's story that we covered. But, you know, they're going to try to make it softer and gentler so that it's not so bad for the rural people. Well, all it does is delay the negative impacts of it on the rural people. It's still bad. You know, we have a name for this in politics, and I'm not going to tell you what it is. It's called polishing the blank, and it's bad. No matter how you try to polish something that's bad, it's still bad. Anyway, this state employee writes me and says, you mentioned on Monday's program about the underhanded and deceitful plan of the regressive totalitarian Marxists to reintroduce the cap and tax initiative so they can get the camel's nose under the tent and expand the disastrous program later once it's made law. And I'll stop right there because that is precisely what they're going to do. He continues. You stated that the way to combat this deception is to emphasize fairness. I would slightly adjust your point to say what is needed is a powerful and creative message about the unfairness of the regressives' ideas and their initiatives. Their plans are demonstrably unfair to the children. They're terribly unfair to the poor and will cause great suffering and financial difficulty for single mothers. Their policies will wage war on the family just struggling to survive and accelerate the problem of homelessness throughout the state. Their programs will cause growing unemployment and underemployment, and a much larger divide will be created between the haves and the have-nots. In short, their policies and ideas are fundamentally unfair to the most vulnerable Oregonians, causing widespread hardship and suffering for the millions for decades to come, except for those poised to benefit from their unfair policies, namely the unions, their special interest groups, their entrenched donors, the recipients of the state's under-the-table favors. Their policies are unkind, unjust, unsympathetic, underhanded, and unloving. And in a nutshell, they are unfair. Would you agree with that? I mean, I have to tell you, I think he's... It's a slight deviation of what I was talking about, but it's the same thing. And he's right. It's unfair. You know, one of the interesting things about taxes... listen to this. A friend of mine coined this term, and it's not coined. He just something is restated, something has been around a long time. All taxes tax the poor. Isn't that true? Well, all taxes, mostly tax anybody. Income taxes, there's a level that if you earn a certain level in Oregon, you don't really pay an income tax, but it's a tiny amount of money. The reality is that all taxes tax the poor. Whenever they raise the cigarette tax, the beer tax, the wine tax, the sin taxes, right? Who does it hurt the worst? When they raise fees for your car registration, when they raise property taxes, new bond measures, well, obviously that ripples back and those fees are passed along with rent control. By the way, did you hear the story yesterday about how Phoenix is leading the way as the Phoenix, Arizona, leading the way in terms of the largest rent increases? Obviously, they didn't look at Oregon very conclusively because they were saying in the story about Phoenix that it's about 7%. We just passed a law in Oregon that says you can raise it 10%, and that's precisely what's been going on. It's funny how they don't mention that. At any rate, yeah, all of these things hurt poor people more than they do even working class people, and certainly more than they do the rich. Because rich have money. You raise gas taxes on the rich, it doesn't hurt them as much as it does a poor person. You double the car registration fee, it really hurts a poor person who's buying a $500 car to drive to work. All taxes, Texas. And it is unfair. And cap and trade will hurt the poor the most, and especially the rural poor. Back in a moment, friends. It's 6:30 in the morning. You're listening to Political Coffee. Lots more to talk about.
Call Jeff now at 503-589-1220. That's 503-589-1220. Let's return now to more of Political Coffee with Jeff Krupp.
24 minutes till the top of the hour. If you're just joining us for Politics with Your Coffee, because believe me, it matters in your life. What are we going to do about homelessness? Salem has banned homelessness, camping anyway, at least on sidewalks and other places. Now, city of Gresham, has a unique program. Is that the kind of thing that we should do more of? And it kind of gets to the heart of things. Also, social media, it's ugly. It's changing our culture, not for the better, folks. So if you send out a tweet and you purposefully design the tweet to send somebody into an epileptic seizure because you know they have epilepsy, should you be sued for doing that? Or do you have a right to say anything? What would happen if you walked up to somebody who you know has epilepsy, and you say something face-to-face that sends them into an epileptic seizure? Do you have the right to do that? Well, there's a court case going on about this. We'll talk about that. Hey, by the way, this new spending bill that they're going to pass, they have to pass it by the 20th, because that's when Congress shuts down. It's $1.4 trillion. I'm looking at it online, folks. It's 1,773 pages long. Now, let me tell you how this works. Congressmen and senators earmark money for their districts. And they do that and get away with it because they pledge their vote for this turkey. Now, it's a massive amount of money. Buried in it is a lot of stuff that you and I would not like as conservatives. But also buried in it is some stuff that we do like. What's amazing is that they got Democrats to agree to it. like repealing three Obamacare taxes. But they also include, and I'll share this with you, they also, believe me, Congress and Nancy Pelosi and the Democrats are actually giving Trump money for his border wall. No kidding. I've got the details of that. Plus, of course, more emails, your phone calls, 503-589-1220. 503-589-1220 is the Power of Buick GMC Talk. And, of course, emails always to Jeff at 1220.am. Before we go back to the phones, want to let you know that I think that, you know, CBD oil has really helped me. It's helped members of my family. And there's people in my world that I know that it is helping also. Maybe you ought to try it. Maybe you ought to go talk to the folks at Vim Natural Supplements and Body Care down in South Commercial in South Salem, right next to Safeway. They sell CannaShield. CannaShield is a great brand of CBD. It's a line of products. And it's a great brand, and it's not only effective for me, but it's also sourced right here in Oregon. It's Oregon grown, it's Oregon sourced, Oregon processed. And they have a great website where you can check it out and learn some more. Go to VimSalem, V-I-M, VimSalem.com, VimSalem.com. Let's go to the phones. Let's go to Art, who's on the line. Art, good morning, brother. How are you today?
Oh, my goodness. Are we talking to you this morning, Jeff?
We are talking, and I have apparently not hit the mute button, so there you go.
Well, yesterday I listened to the show again, and it was really funny because you could hear me talking to you. You saying, Art, I can't hear you. I can't hear you. That was funny, Jeff. God, I hope we don't have that problem again in the near future, but that's what happened.
Me either.
With Skype. So let me say, how do we resolve all these problems, Jeff? We get rid of the Democrats because they haven't got the brains that God gave a pissant to resolve issues. I mean,
wow, that's pretty bold for you to say that.
Well, but it's true, Jeff. Okay. Have we made the healthcare system better, or is it worse? Worse because of the Democrats. Have we solved the homeless problem? No, because the Democrats don't address the issues of drug abuse, et cetera, et cetera. They kick the dang can down the road consistently, and we don't kick them out of office, including the Democrats, because, I mean, registered Democrats should say, hey, you know, the reason why we're not getting anything resolved is because you guys aren't, you know, doing, you know, actually tackling the issues and the problems, Jeff. And so that's what we do. And now what do they want to do? They want to do cap and trade. They want to get rid of Trump, and he's done the best things for our economy of any president in years of my lifetime. So, you know, it's just absolutely crazy, Jeff. You know, their liberal policies and the way they think is just wrong, and that's how we resolve all these problems. We and solve the homeless problem, the drug problems. I mean, you know, that is how we do it. And so if we don't, we get what we deserve. If we do, then maybe we'll quit kicking the can down the road, because that's what Democrats like to do. So they can, you know, point fingers at Republicans. And say, oh, they're the problem. Well, we all know who the problem is, Jeff. It's the dang Democrats who just will not tackle the important issues that we all know need to be resolved. Have a great day.
You're right, Art. You're right. And every one of these cities that's dealing, let's just take homelessness. And Art, thanks for your call, brother. I appreciate it. And I'm glad that we all can hear each other today. Democrats run all of these cities. They run Salem, folks. Okay? Now, Gresham is run by a Republican mayor. His name is Shane Bemis. And the story today is, it's a coin sick story. And you can see it on OregonWatchdog.com. Gresham's stance on homelessness is paying off. The result is perhaps nowhere more apparent, is the subheadline, than along Spring Water Trail. Now, they tell a story about a gal who calls City Hall looking for help. She's homeless. And what they did with her is they hired somebody. They found the money somehow in their system. They hired somebody to be a specialist for homeless people, to help connect homeless people with existing services, folks. Existing services. And in this case, they tell a story about connecting this woman, finding her a spot in a local women's shelter with a way that she can eventually move into permanent housing. Okay? Now, I can tell you from my experience of being a state legislator, there are always ways that you can be more efficient in government. Those of you listening to my voice that work for any government agency know exactly what I'm talking about. Now, Gresham's still a large city. They've been dealing with homelessness on ever-increasing numbers when it reached kind of a peak in 2015. So in 2016, they hired this person to literally spend time talking to homeless people and provide them, just help them get into existing services that are already there. They didn't even know. The homeless people didn't know, and it's understandable because many of them, as you know, are on drugs. Now they have an entire outreach team. Now, at the risk of you guys thinking that I'm being inconsistent here, I told you earlier that, you know, this massive federal spending bill, $1.4 trillion, and Mark Levin's point about this is being, you make government bigger and you give government more power when you do that. And you never unwind that power. Well, here we're making government bigger because you're developing a team to deal with a very real problem, folks. And this is a result of bad politicians. I want to go back to what bad decisions made by politicians, what Art just said. We're not going to fix the homeless problem until we get rid of the Democrats that are creating it. What do I mean? Well, they continually decriminalize drugs, don't they? Small amounts of heroin. I mean, they've decriminalized this stuff, folks. And the message you send that it's okay to take drugs. What do you suppose is the message that they've sent to these people that are on drugs that have led them to homelessness? That's a result of bad Democrat policies. Now, nonetheless, it's the policy that's in place. We have to find a way to deal with it because it's a negative impact on our communities. And frankly, it's not humane to let people just go live on the streets, panhandle, do the things that they're doing because they have addiction issues. So finding a balance between not growing government, using your existing resources to help people in a humane manner has to be a part of this discussion. But it doesn't seem that the Democrats, who seem to care, wear caring on their sleeve for homeless, doesn't seem they're able to get it done, does it? Back in a moment with more of your phone calls and tweeting.
Come on and sing my song.
Stop the car.
Jeff now at 503-589-1220. That's 503-589-1220. Let's return now to more of Political Coffee with Jeff Krupp.
Ten minutes till. So how fair, how good is it to put in place policies like the Democrats do to decriminalize drugs? And now they want to do even more. And in fact, the liberal activists are putting forward these initiatives, right, that even make it even more clear that Oregon is going to simply be a haven for every drug addict there could ever be. Now, we know that people understand messaging, and they get it. People are not dumb. But if you're sending the message that it's okay to come to Oregon and do drugs, and, oh, by the way, we're going to give you all kinds of free stuff, what does human nature teach you? Well, there's lots of examples of places that has been done priorly in America, and it has failed every time. And that's the message Democrats are sending with all of this. 503-589-1220 is the Power of Buick GMC talk line, 503-589-1220. There's a story, and I'll go to the phones in a moment, so everybody hang on. This Kirk Eichenwald is a far-left, vicious, Trump-hating reporter. Somebody sent him a tweet. And he opened it up, and he has epilepsy. And it flashed something across the screen, and it sent him into an epileptic seizure. He sued the guy that sent it to him. And now they're in court. Is this the way to police human behavior? Now, if this guy loses, I mean, do you not have a free speech right? Is it any different in coming up physically and saying to a person, I hope you have an epileptic seizure, and maybe waving your hand real fast with a bright light? Or should you be punished in court economically? What do you think? I have to tell you that I do not like social media as much as I used to. In fact, I'm very careful what I put on social media anymore because of the ugliness of it. And I think it is having an incredibly negative impact on our society. I'm torn by this because I think the only way you're going to get people to self-limit themselves is, quite frankly, is just to say, look, you want to do that stuff? There's a fine line between yelling fire in a crowded movie theater and the negative impacts of that and your free speech. I don't know. Free speech has to be paramount. All right, let's go back to the phones, and we'll start. Is it Ann this morning, or is it Zeke again?
Ann, I just wanted, on the homelessness issue,
yes.
I wanted to let you know that since Kate Brown has decriminalized drugs, that we are starting to get heroin needles being left on retail floors on a regular basis. And we also are seeing mental health people threatening women in stores, frightening the elderly, and sometimes they're on heroin, sometimes they're mental. You call the parole officers, they don't do nothing about it. You call the cops, they do nothing about it. And the city of Salem, their next meeting is going to be on January 13th. And if people would write in and tell them their stories about this, you know, the negative effects, you know, so that, because they're going to be making some decisions. It's citycouncil@cityofsalem.net. And that will go to all of the Salem council members.
Repeat it again, please.
citycouncil@cityofsalem.net.
It's an excellent idea. They need to hear from you. Do you think that this ban on sidewalks that the city of Salem has just enacted. Is that going to solve the problem, or does it just move the problem elsewhere?
It just moves the problem elsewhere because there's talk of taking one of our city parks and putting up fencing and toilet facilities and garbage for the nice figure of around $1 million. And who do you think is going to pay for that? We are. And
yeah, they'll just tack it to your water bill.
Oh, yeah. Just
like you do everything
else,
right?
They wouldn't pay $1 million for, for children or anything, but we're going to do this and for the homeless. And I know they need help, but we need to do it in a real, true, active way, not this phony baloney stuff that they keep pushing around. And the thing is it's not just on the sidewalks. It's just not in the parks. I know of a security officer who was doing security down there, and he went down one night before they made a move. And one came up and tried to hit him. One came up behind him at the same time, tried to put a guitar across his head. And they started to surround him. And he called the cops, and the cops actually came down and said, good thing you called us, because there was going to be a riot. So why is the city council and the Governor Brown so worried about protecting all these criminals rather than protecting the hardworking citizens that they're supposed to be working for? And the one thing that we can do is start putting pressure on the city council, start putting pressure on our senators and congressmen and the governor. I mean, we're getting run over by all these bad policies and bad decisions by the Democrats. And if we don't start voicing our liberty, we have to. We just have to.
Agreed, Ann. Thank you very much. And you're right on the money.
You're welcome.
Hit the nail on the head. It's up to us, folks. You don't like what's going on? You don't like how the Democrats are dealing with homelessness? You better stand up and be counted. You better say something about it. Let's go quickly to Rebecca. Rebecca, good morning. Your thoughts?
My thought is that Hitler used people on the streets attacking normal citizens to come into greater power. And he came and promised the people that he would take care of the problem. And then he got more powers. So I think what this is exactly what people do to get more power. And we've always had the ability for policemen to move the homeless along. This is something else. This has to do with gaining more power over us. All of us can become homeless overnight if the right policies are put in place. And they will have all the power to deal with this as they wish. So
you're saying be careful about how we formulate solutions to this problem. That's what you're saying.
That's what I'm saying, is that the solution, I believe this is a coordinated thing. The police have the power already to move the homeless people along. They just last year they came and cleaned up under the bridge, and the city of Salem isn't allowing the meals to be served under the bridge. They already
have. All right,
have
Rebecca,
the power.
We're at the end of the show.
This
Thank you very much. You're
else.
Right. They have the power. Now we just have to have the political will, and that's up to you folks. Thanks for listening today, my friends. We'll be back tomorrow, and I hope you will be too. Make it a great day.